So, my question or thought of a speak is about. Yes. Yes, you could almost claim that would be actually kind of funny in a way. So, social engineering. I guess everyone here probably knows the definition. Everyone has a different take on it. In my case, just the other day, I was having a discussion with a person that's running. I cannot do this and listen to people at the same time. I work for a college, and she runs a lot of the programs about, high tech academy type things you'd call it. And she was trying to get a room at this restaurant, and they were like, "Oh, we don't allow people to come in. So, you know, and reserve a room. We don't take reservations." I went, "Sure you do. Everybody takes reservations. It's a matter of how you present it." So I went over there, made an appointment, found out when the manager was working for the restaurant, and got an unofficial, "You can have this room." And it kind of shows that you can use social engineering for something good as opposed to something bad. So I thought this would be an interesting time, because I'm thinking of writing memoirs and commentaries about it. Interesting time to share concepts and thoughts. Friends of mine have thought that, you know, social engineering is a lot like improvisation, a little bit like Toastmasters. Anyone here ever been to Toastmasters? Okay, well, basically you go up and during one part of the meeting, I'm not real good at this, I say a lot of ands, us, and thus, and waste time like that, but they'll give you a topic, and you have to come up with a 2-minute speech about this topic, not knowing maybe anything about it, but fill 2 minutes of airtime with that topic. And social engineering can, in my view, can be a lot like that. You walk into a situation, you have a plan, you know a lot about what you want to do, what your goals are, but you have no idea what somebody else is going to throw at you that you now have to come up with a response to, a challenge. I don't know if anyone saw the movie Serenity. Anyone here see it? The very beginning was a great scene. The guy walked in, the doctor, you know, he's like there under the impression he's allowed to be there. Somebody else comes and says, "Well, I thought everything was great. Why are you questioning that I'm here? Or that why are you here since we have okay?" And his response, instead of backing down or anything else, was another challenge. And I thought that was really an interesting concept. But if you're in a situation where you need to get somewhere, sometimes backing down is good, sometimes it isn't. I just thought that was an interesting example. Some other examples I had were with classes where I've logged teachers in every morning when I go to the class, and I got to be in the class. I thought that was kind of nice. Great, letter grade. I logged him into the system. He didn't know what his user ID or password was and never really wanted to go get it. Yeah. So I logged him in as me. Probably not a good thing to have done, but, you know, a student account is a student account. It's not real, you know. Other times I've had where just calling up, for example, Dell technical support. Anyone here ever call up Dell? You have to consistently go and answer 1,000 questions about, yes, the light's flashing, no, the light's not flashing. You know the power supply is dead, they don't want to believe you. You know, at this point, I've gotten to the point where I tell them I've hooked up the power supply to 2 different power supply checkers and they both say it's bad. You know, I found that tends to work. If you say that you're certified and run down a list of a few of the, like A+, N+, and whatever else you want to add to the list, they tend to look, you know, they tend to say okay, and they skip a lot of questions. It's a form of social engineering that's a positive one. Yeah?
You know how Dell will send out technicians to repair computers?
Yeah.
That anybody there is A+ certified, will overnight the parts, you put them in yourself, ship them back, no problem.
I've had that. In my case, I don't know how many people dealt with the GX 270s and the bad capacitors, but I don't really want to go through all the work of having to swap out motherboards and power supplies because they both seem to die. So when I had a lab of about 17 machines, I called them up and asked that they would come out and do it. So they sent me one power supply and one board and a tech. I called them back and then they were going to send out 17, or no, at that point it was 16 power supplies and 16 motherboards for a week or so later. I called them back up and they were only going to send me the power supplies. Then they changed it. Then the next day, all that arrived were the motherboards. It was a lot of fun. I hate Dell sometimes. But anybody have any examples of things they've done as social engineering that are interesting to share? Give ideas how you can use this for good or how you can see when you're being engineered? And this is supposed to be interactive. I make ideas for questions. You guys go, you know. Oh, this could be a long 40 minutes, folks. Okay, so the other thing, hopefully the guy will show up. Earlier in the week, last weekend I wasn't feeling that great, so called up the doctor. He was actually interested in coming because on the weekends and stuff, I'm usually wearing a T-shirt of Nauticon or something like that. And I was one day, and he asked about it, so he said he was going to show up. But this was like maybe a couple of months ago. Called him, what was it, Saturday or something? We were talking, and after he's like, yeah, just call up the nurse, make an appointment. They'll fit you in sometime Monday if there's time. Well, I reminded him about the conference. Hey, don't forget about the conference. It's coming up, da-da-da. All of a sudden, he's like, yeah, why don't you just come in at like 8:15 and just tell the girls up front that you talked to me and I'm expecting you. So I did that. Monday morning, 8:15, I'm at the office, got seen just like that. Just because you brought up a relationship. You've made yourself and that person feel warm and comforting. Since nobody's going to give and share things. I also was listening to an audio book I found online, of course, about sales. And I thought it was really interesting that sales and social engineering are really pretty close. You're trying to sell yourself to this person as their friend, or maybe not their friend, but somebody they want to help to make life easier for them. A bunch of different sales books and things will talk about how you have to find a commonality, put yourself, like if you're a car dealer and you want to sell car mats to car dealerships, you want to point out how you're part of the car mat sellers for Northeast Ohio, because now he says, wow, you sell car mats, but you're in Northeast Ohio only. I'm in Northeast Ohio. So you've made yourself part of the group and part of that person's inner circle because you match in title only, totally a non-related thing, but they've made the association that you're part of their group. Because they're in that. So naming yourself and that sort of thing is also pretty interesting. How it makes that bond in a relationship that's not normally there. Kind of like this group. A lot of people here have a closeness to other people, not because they know anybody, not because they trust them, because they haven't, in some cases, the people here haven't earned each other's trust, but just because they showed up here, there's an air of trust that you've made with them. Any thoughts, comments, interaction?
Are you talking about Dale Carnegie's book? How to Win Friends and Influence People?
No, but I have an audio book of that. I love audio books. This was the might have been the Certifiable Salesman, but I don't remember. It might have been in that too. I had a job where I dealt with salesmen a lot, and they really stressed me out. So I started reading and learning as much as I could about the salesman mentality and philosophies just to survive. But they are interesting, though. But I do remember that book. Any other thoughts? Yeah?
One example I ran into with a good salesman was in the tech equipment show where there was a guy walking. I was walking down the aisle. One older salesman calls up me, hey Jeff, how's things going on down where you're at? It took me a few seconds after I talked to him for a second. I really didn't know him, and he read the name off my tag.
There you go.
So I caught it.
Perception.
That is true. It's a name tag gives out a lot of information. So does the shirt you're wearing. Kind of almost, if in that case, goes back to your online privacy. I guess you could link this too if you wanted to make people possibly come up with more commentary. But you look at a profile that you post somewhere on the web, and there's a lot of information that's on that profile. Just because you know a person's name, for example, a teacher of mine, I'm always taking classes, he asked what the W in his name meant. Well, I spent 3 hours searching for what this W means. I have no clue what the W means, but I know that he knows like a dozen people I know. I have no idea how we've never met because of all the people, the groups, all the circles we're in are very closely knit. I know about his kids going to school, everything just because he posted a ball on his web pages. So if you see a person's name tag, you look it up on the net, you'll have a lot of information about them. As a person that I, or a video that I saw the other day, this one guy did some really bad things and now is complaining because you type in his full name onto Google and what he did that was bad comes up first, and you know it's hurting him in the job market, but that doesn't necessarily tie in 100% here. But it was still interesting.
What do you think about politicians being the ultimate social engineers? They've got to convince everybody to vote for them.
Humorously, I keep saying I'm going to put a web page up and have it say vote for Dave. And I figure that it would be the most humorous thing in the world. I've also thought that a reality TV show where we vote the next person that should be running for president, but I do agree. Yeah, I mean, I find great humor in the fact that a politician can go up, say one thing this week, next week change their mind 100%, and for some reason we accept it. That just doesn't make a lot of sense. You know? No, people don't question enough. People take a lot of things for granted. Just because you put PhD or something at the end of your name, you're given instant credibility at how many people actually check where your PhD is from if it's an accredited school. Nobody background checks like that. It costs money. People don't want to waste the time, the effort. I don't know. Any other thoughts? I'm trying to kill time. What do they do with those?
So it seems that most of the things we've talked about really come down to an appeal to authority, whether it's perceived or actual. And that might be a key element to social engineering, is making some sort of appeal to authority, like I have this certification, or I have a PhD, or I'm a manager, or whatever.
Well, yeah.
People want to give over to authority, so if you give them an authority to relinquish to,
in generality, people are pack animals. Yeah, people are pack animals. We want to make people happy. We don't always want to be the leader or the follower, but we want to make other people happy. So, why am I up here to volunteer? I'm trying to make the con good, trying to make it interesting for people, trying to make people happy, educate. Other people, when you ask a person for help and you're sincere, they want to help you, so they try to. They actually said that in one of the little books. But if it's only an appeal to authority, I guess we should all be running around in suits, ties, or the police uniform type things, because that makes people respect you more, supposedly. The dark blue is supposed to bring authority or something.
Like the character on Law & Order always says, "Oh, we're authorized."
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I did that once in
We don't need no badges.
Exactly. I did that once in Italy. I was for a school project, there was this museum that had outside of Rome that had plaster casts, like all the famous statues of Roman antiquities from all over the Mediterranean. But sort of in typical Italian fashion, 80% of it was closed for repairs, so you could really only get like two rooms. And we were supposed to do the school report. And so we really just kept asking different people until we found a maintenance. And every time they would say, "No, it's closed," we have to go there for school, until we found the maintenance man. He said, "We have to go there for school," and he was like, "Oh, okay." and he just took it back there. And it was all, and then any time anybody came through, they said, what are you doing here? And they said, oh, we're fine. And they were like, oh, okay. And granted, that was Italy.
Here it would work too.
Yeah.
If you have a,
he says a lot of times you can't just walk into a place and if you act like you have an air of authority, they won't even question you. So I think do you have any comment on Mitnick's book? Have you read any?
I've read part of it. Every time I start reading it, something else I need to work on or read or do something with comes up. So, yeah. Priority. I had a guy who, I knew a guy that was a salesman too. It's interesting. He used to be an engineer and turned into a salesman. Scary thought. But he would always, when he wanted to get from point A to point B and not be interrupted by people, he would get a wrench or a tool of some sort, put a phone up to his ear, nobody'd be on it, he'd hold the wrench and walk wherever it was. If somebody tried to stop him, he'd just hold up the wrench and act like he was on a mission for whoever was on the phone, and that would be more important, obviously, and he would just keep walking. I started doing it. It worked. Usually I was on the phone, but the couple of times that I wasn't, you know, it got me through, and I was like, wow, pretty sad. Yeah. Each situation's different. That's why I was saying I'm planning actually when I get time to take a class on improvisation, just because a lot of it's wit. If you're able to give an answer, how good a bullshitter are you? Would you be willing to say to the guy, you know, you're in a room you're not supposed to be, but what's the situation? Are you setting up equipment? Are you just hanging out, chilling? Yeah, I mean, you need more background.
Even though you may not understand what their jargon is, you can still act like one of them by throwing around a lot of words.
Or people.
You walk into a Verizon ILEC, and all of a sudden they're like, blah, 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 I've got to get into this room, or I've got to get into that room, I'm level 2 connected. And you just kind of convince the security guard at the front, even though you don't have a badge, you just walk in the front door.
Hi, I have a work order, I'm supposed to fix this computer. Where the heck is, or even go up to the guy. You know, you can, a person walks into a room and you're not supposed to be there, walking up to somebody saying, oh good, somebody's here to help. You know, hi, can you help me find this room or this spot? I am lost and I'm supposed to do this.
Empathy.
Yeah, empathy, going back to that. I was at places doing rallies and things in my youth and we were there and we had like 50 people that had shown up and we were going to basically have a protest type thing, and we found out that we won before we had won. Yet all these people were there. So, you know, we got stopped. I was sitting there talking to the administrator of this place when we were outside and a police officer that was there and all that. And I went, you know what? I don't have a good answer to you of, you know, who has a permit that we needed. So I walked over to the three other guys that were with us that were the administrators and said, hi, you guys. I'm being asked currently for the paperwork, and I know we don't have any, but I'm going to be over here for a few minutes while I come up with another good line before I go back over there so they feel like I've been talking to you. I went back and said, you know what? They screwed up. All the other people that were supposed to be doing that part of the work didn't get the paperwork filed, didn't check with the people they were supposed to. We were here and just going to have a party outside in celebration of whatever it was, and they didn't want to turn us away because they saw that we were, you know, they felt we were going to do something good for them. And they didn't know about the other part, so they just let us do it. Just because it looked like empathy again, yeah.
Well, I've also got it too where I actually got stopped by the local county sheriffs. And I didn't even know, you know, I didn't know the police structure or how they worked. But the one who was just me, you can tell me, young Greenhorn sheriff, deputy, straight off the line, and he stops me and starts being a real dick to me, and I'm like, do you want me to call Sheriff Tim? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you want me to call Sheriff Tim? I have back his personal home phone number. Do you want a job tomorrow? And he's like, well, you know Sheriff Tim? I'm like, yeah, I know Sheriff Tim. You know, and it was this guy's name that was plastered all over political 3 months earlier. I didn't know the guy, but I just bullshitted my way out of the ticket. Okay, sir, what did I say? And he handed me back to my stuff and let me know.
There you go.
So, sometimes you gotta act like a dick or act as a young authority that, I mean, that young kid, he probably just got his job. He didn't want to lose his job or anything. And I knew the sheriff, just as lowly and crazy deputy.
But in the same situation, that probably wouldn't have worked with somebody who'd been on the force for 20 years and looked like he was on the force for 20 years. So like you said, it's knowing your situation and knowing the environment in which you're playing in. Also, I think if you don't have the fear of losing, because you know that, the worst that's going to happen to you in some cases, you're going to get what you deserved or were going to normally get. So, throwing caution to the wind a little bit, in whichever way you decide to play it, helps. Any other thoughts? Come on, somebody who hasn't said something or shared some experience of interest. Doesn't have access to our security areas, so. Yeah, it's a good reason not to let them in. Yeah, that is true. Always be nice to the secretaries and the cleaning crew. I've been told makes life a lot easier. Anybody else have something to share of interest? Okay, or even not interest? Yeah.
A good example of social engineering is the Breaking Vegas series on the History Channel. Card sharks.
Oh, yeah.
You BS your way at a table with me. You know that yet?
They'll hire strippers to go to the table so that the security guards all focus on them. Meanwhile, they're
oh, yeah.
Or they'll hire people have been profiled by the casinos as not being intelligent enough for counting cards. But they've already taught them how to do it, or they use the signals. But was it Ben Mez, this guy's name, did that book? His name's Ben. MIT students.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that would make sense, because to me, if I was going to send somebody in, I'd send in some disheveled-looking master that hadn't had a haircut in 4 years,
right,
versus somebody that was clean-cut that walked up to the table that you would immediately suspect.
Yeah, they exploited profiling, they exploited distractions, so they, strippers, then they'd have, older guys from Texas that are loudmouthed, very boisterous, have girls in their arms, hey, I'm just going to throw some money down, and meanwhile these cats are doing their signals, and everybody's focused on this guy that's, very outgoing.
Yeah, it's very hard to break into video. They got security everywhere, and they all share data. So if you get
profiled
one, your profile
spreads
all over.
Right. I grew up in Vegas, and my mother, she worked in the cage, and she told me a story which I was kind of interested in. There was a high roller down there. He was up for a couple hundred grand, doing great on the tables. And they called her up, told her to stand at the end of the table. And within 20 minutes of being there, the guy dropped everything he'd won. He was superstitious about a woman being at the table while he played. Just her presence there was enough to just throw
that. How could they tell that, though?
Hmm?
How could they tell that, though?
They knew the guy.
Huh?
He's a high roller.
Oh, they knew
him profile. They knew he had a thing about women at the table.
Well, I didn't know if they had some sort of background or dossier on or something that they knew.
Yeah.
light
always looks like it's about 5 o'clock out.
That we never realized we've been there for 8 hours.
Drinks are watered down. You only get drinks when you're doing good. Otherwise, they leave you alone. You have to, like, almost beg for them. Yeah.
Sounds like you've been there before.
Once, actually.
Yeah,
only once. Play correctly. Yeah, you don't get drinks a lot if you're sitting at a the nickel slots don't do real well. You get a little bit more the higher up the numbers are on them. I don't know. Let's see. I'm also supposed to let people know, anybody here in the Cleveland or this area, Tri-C, Cuyahoga Community College is also doing a forensics class. This summer I have some pamphlets. There are some upstairs in the free stuff room. So prices are reasonable. 2-day class is going to be like $200. The 1 week is, I think, like $700. Taught by a guy that's kind of local to this area, really good guy. Took the class with him, learned a lot.
What's his history?
What's his history? You know his. Glenn. Yeah.
Investigator for the Department of Labor, and he's retired. He teaches a lot of classes. He traveled around the country doing forensics classes. He's currently the president of HTCIA of the United States. In the United States, that's the High Technology Crimes Investigation.
I don't know. He's got a lot of numbers behind him.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah, he's good. I took a 3-hour thing with him and learned a lot. I was real impressed. So I had to officially say that just so that I can check off one of those things at work that I promoted the college at public events. So anybody that's local that's curious, see me or try to find one of the flyers. I have a few in here with me. Any other comments, thoughts?
You mentioned that guy on Google was having a hard time finding a job. Were you at that conference yesterday morning?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was worthy of bringing up just because I thought it kind of fit. I was wondering if anyone was going to catch that reference or not. And, oh, well. That's good. At least people are listening then. Supposedly there's those little tickets I can hand out too. Yeah, I just got to find them. I don't know. Did I leave them up there? Oh, he has. Oh, that's... There should be some over there. I thought I did. But there should be some interesting thoughts that people have.
How about some good movies that's still trying to make? I just saw Catch Me If You Can with Frank Abagnale.
And at first, I originally wasn't going to see it because I didn't.
That was the airplane guy, right?
Yeah.
Doing the airplane? That was a good movie.
That was really good for social engineering. The other one I thought was really interesting is Bruce Willis and Jack. Is it Jackal?
Oh, that was old.
Yeah, it's not a good movie. But I was wondering if anybody else had a movie.
Flash?
Yeah.
What's that? Flash. Chevy Chase.
Yeah, that's right.
That's old.
Charges to the Underhill.
Oh, let's see. You ask questions. Yeah. Who else asks
right.
questions?
Come on, man. Give me two more.
There you go. I guess that's a good answer. Who else asked? You did.
Me.
You know.
There
you go. Seuss. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
I keep at my house, I keep getting phone calls from, I guess my house number must be really close to some government help desk number. And I just keep wanting to say, yeah, I can do that. What's your user ID? You know, what's your current password? And then, okay, don't forget, change it at the end of today. And if I could ever figure out exactly where they work, you know, I'd have a password that probably works for the rest of the day. The trick to that is...
You can do that. It's easy to say, well, what division are you in?
Yeah.
Well, what screen address is that?
I get answering machine.
You're in that division. Yeah. Okay, hold on 1 second.
I haven't been the one that's answered the phone and been lucky enough to answer that.
Bullshit. I mean, you can get anything out of anybody.
That is true. I would, if I answered the phone and that was when that happened, I would be so happy because I would probably do it just for the fun of it. But, you know, not usually lucky enough to get the phone. But, yeah, if you do add the comment, I noticed where I work, I don't know about you guys, but people want to seem to give me their password. They can have, you know, signs right above their desk saying, don't give out passwords, and they'll be like, here, you want my password so you can log in. And I find that to be terrible, but, you know, you could always, if, as long as you tell a person, don't forget to change it when I'm done, you know, chances are, A, they won't, but you'd still have a valid password till the end of the day, even if you did that over the phone, which is kind of scary and sad just because of human nature. Or the mouse pad.
Mouse pad is amazing, you know.
It's kind of sad. Yes, it is.
Because they're cattle. They don't understand. Sheep, yeah, cattle, sheep, whatever you want to term it.
So, yeah?
Well, I work in the ISP industry and system administration. So I deal a lot with, you know, telcos calling in problems and stuff and trying to deal with level one kind of get stuff done. Well, what I found is that they oftentimes will give you, like, phone numbers directly to the central offices and, you know, by accident, like, they meant for you to call, or when somebody calls you from the central office and get off the caller ID. So I just keep a list of all, like, central office phone numbers, and so oftentimes I can call right in to the central office and they don't ask for any ticket, ID, or anything. They just go and check.
Yeah, because that's a little security through obscurity. They expect that if you already know the number, that you must be high enough on the food chain. You can even get
them to tap lines because they can come in, you know, like channel, like you got channel ISP one coming through or whatever. So they can come, if that's like a PRI, they'll come right on and they'll like, you can hear them listening to the audio on each channel. So you can be like, hey, can you check this channel? So if you knew a certain T1 that you wanted to get information from, call right in and they can tap it because they think you're looking.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I always had just the ability to do it from the PBX where I was at when I did a lot of phone work. But any other thoughts, comments? I still got to use up more of these tickets. I'm not allowed to keep them.
What are the tickets for?
The tickets are for, yeah, that's right.
We've got a sponsor raffle upstairs.
Yeah. There's a bunch of tubes. Yeah, there's a bunch of tubes. You pick which raffle they're supposed to label, I think. What prize is for which tube. So if there's a prize that you want, you would put your ticket in that particular tube for that prize. So if there's something cool, you have a chance of winning what you want, not a random thing. So if you want the...
Know what ticket.
This sounds like a glorified Chinese
auction. Yes. I think they're supposed to... Yeah, you put one side. I would imagine that the keep this coupon is the one that you keep. I could be wrong. This may be done in reverse, but, you know. Yeah, it doesn't say who should keep it. That is true.
Same numbers on both of them. I'm guessing it doesn't actually matter. Unless you fill out your information on the back of the one labeled ticket.
Yeah, that's for the same people who must eat the silica packets on the bottom of medicine. Do not eat this packet. You know some dumbass had to eat the fucking
packet. What Kramer did.
Bannon, or who was it? There was a... Penn and Teller had a book of bad practical jokes, and they had one of those unopenable packets, and they got sued because somebody, I guess, took a pair of scissors or something, cut it open, and ate it. I remember that.
Because obviously whoever claimed that it was unbreakable must have gotten pissed and now they got out on unfolding or something.
Yeah. Well, hey, what about those combs? You can break the unbreakable ones. But
speaking of which, who here knows anything about the Dura
book? Did you put our in the tough book? It was about 1500. Anybody in the military uses them?
No, they use the tough books. It's a tough book for the Micro Center over Mayfield Heights here. They've got a Dura book. It's the same magnesium case. The specs are similar, but it's $1,000 less than the tough book.
Is it mil-spec? Talk with Amish One. He loves the tough books. He's doing the intro to photography.
The gentleman I'll go with myself, not me.
No. I thought that was Oh, they're both doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're right. He does. Myself does have one, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because it's a real tiny little screen.
Yeah.
So. Well, I have to get rid of these. So, sir, who's leaving, would you like one of these since you did actually provide stuff and commentary?
I can turn down free crap. Get up there.
Yeah, how can you turn down a chance at free stuff? And actually, I did see some of the prizes. They look pretty good this year. A lot of.
There's not an RFID carrier.
You said one or more than one? Because technically there are two pieces of paper, and how would we know which one you're going to keep? Well, that's why I said one. Okay, come on. Three different people who haven't talked yet. Say something. Something does count. That's pretty pathetic if you're going to use that as a claim. Do we have to give out all of these, or are we allowed to keep some? Okay, I'll give that. Can you add
the guy in the orange shirt in the back right there?
The guy in the orange shirt?
The red face? Yeah, he looks like he needs a comment.
I need a comment.
Yeah, come on. Step on
the
plate, son.
Did you get one?
I got one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would just say, give me the ticket first.
That would be a social engineering type of attack that we're not allowed to do or be receptive to.
I have a good story. It just happened.
Okay.
I just told you that I had a good story if you'd give me a ticket, and it didn't work.
You're right. So, do you have another good story? It's good enough for me.
Too easy.
Yeah, only when it doesn't count. But he'll give me a good one when I give him the ticket. I'm counting on that. Did I just rip this the wrong way? No.
I have a new story now. It worked.
That's funny. Anybody else? Yes.
My team here is one, of course, my primary current is alcohol. On multiple occasions, I would walk into stores and buy booze of one sort or another and get through, even though I was very obviously underage. In one case, a woman charged me. I gave her my license. She looked at it, gave it back, and handed it off. Just couldn't do date map, I guess. But well, she just, you know, the act of doing it was nothing convincing.
Wow.
I know that people are too lazy to do the math, and if you have the license, even for the fake one, and they don't look at it real quick, they'll think that, oh, we don't feel the license.
It was annoying. The very same day, I then went to smuggle my booze into the theater, and it wasn't that mean because we thought it was rich.
Well, thank you, guys. I guess you're out 6 minutes early.
Yay!
Yay! I gave him credit for the high. He spoke up first. Seems fair. Anybody else want to just donate information or commentary without the need for something?
We need Mitnick here next year.
He costs a lot of money right now. I think he's... Anybody know how much he's asking?
He's too much. He's overpriced.
Okay, well, that should do it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yay!
Hey, we're just about out of time here on the River's Edge. We hope you're listening to the music today. I know we've been having a good time listening to it.
Hooked up to his laptop, he was able to live stuff. So this is all live breaks here in the radio.